Let's go. Okay, we are learning Perek Dalet Mishnah Chaf. Guys, we are almost at the end of Perek Dalet, and we learned it straight. We just learned it. Mishnah by Mishnah by Mishnah. I don't think we ever successfully did this through a semester. We always got cut off partway through a semester. I think this is the first time that we just like learned all the way through. Okay, anyways, so it's very exciting. This is a very long Mishnah, so we have a lot to learn. So let's jump into it. Here we go, Mishnah Chaf, ready? Elisha ben Avuya, also known as... Acher, okay. Elisha ben Avuya, Omer, says, Halomed yeled lamahu domeh. Okay, I'm going to use Rav Hirsch's translation. Again, I've made this mistake before. Okay. Elisha ben Avuya says, he who learns in his youth, to what is he compared? Lamahu domeh, lidyo kisuva al niyar chadash. To ink written on clean paper. Halomed zaken, and one who learns in his old age. Lemahu domeh, lidyo kisuva al niyar machuk, to ink written on blotted paper. Okay? Rabbi Yossi bar Yehuda, ish kfar habavli omer. Halomed min hakitanim lemahu domeh, someone who's learning from youth. He who learns from youth, what is he compared to? Le'ochel anavim, Rav Hirsch's translation is not word for word here, so that's why I'm like stumbling a little bit. Lemahu domeh, what is he compared to? Le'ochel anavim kehos. To he who eats unripe grapes, raw grapes, so to speak, v'shosa yayin migiso, and drinks wine from the press. Halomein min hazakenim, and someone who learns from elders, lema hu domeh, what is he compared to? La'ochal anavim b'shulos, one who eats ripe grapes, v'shosa yayin yashan, and drinks old wine. Rabbi Meir Omer, actually, just okay, so Rabbi Hirsch's translation says Meir, and Rabbi Yonah says Rabbi Yehuda, which it seems to be a Rabbi Yehuda, okay? Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Al distakel b'kan kan, do not look at the jug, the vessel, ela b'masha yesh bo, right? This became like a nice idiom in Hebrew. Al distakel b'kan kan, ela b'masha yesh bo, don't look at the jug, rather what's inside of it. Yesh kan kan chadash mele yashan, there are new jugs filled with old wine, v'yashan Yashan sha'afilu chadash einbo. And there are old wine that even, old vessels that even new wine is not in it. I also want to disclaim that I have a canker sore in my tongue. So if I feel like I'm lisping, If that's why I sound like I'm lisping, I apologize, okay? I'll try not to drool on you. That would be a little gross. Okay, but let's go. So how many parts does this Mishnah have? I'm going to go back to Rabbi Yonah, read it inside over here. I mean, our copy over here. How many parts does this have? Rav Hirsch is actually split into this many Mishnayos, but Rabbi Yonah, we're doing it, again, according to this text of it, it goes all the way through. How many parts does it have? Three. You're like, I'm not even going to tell you, you just told me. This is an awkward and embarrassing question, Chana. Okay, treat us with more respect. So, it has three parts, right? I'm going to read them again. I'm going to read them faster, as long as my tongue doesn't fall off partway through. Okay, I'm going to read them faster, and you're going to tell me what is the relationship between these parts. Okay, that's going to be, obviously, the main question that we are going to have to be dealing with in Mefarshim. We're going to do basically Rabbi Yonah and Rav Hirsch, as usual. But I want you to be thinking, okay? I want you to be thinking as we go through it. What is the theme here? What's the relationship between these parts? What is the overall message that we could take away from this set of Mishnayos that, again, all go together? Okay, here we go again. Elisha ben Avuya, and again, interestingly, pieced together from different Tanaim from different time periods. But, okay. Elisha ben Avuya Omer. Elisha ben Avuya says, Halomed yeled lamahu domeh. Someone who teaches a child. Okay, I'm going to translate it like that. Halomed yeled, someone who teaches a child, lamahu domeh. What does it compare to? Lidyo kisuva al niyar chadash, to ink written on new paper. The three brachas, yasher koach, you guys get the award for having the name that is learning the most Torah. Hello, bracha, welcome. Okay, lidyo kisuva al niyar chadash, halomed zaken, someone who teaches an old person. Lemahu domeh, what is he compared to? Lidyo kisuva al niyar machuk, to ink written on like blotted paper, on paper that's already been written on. Rabbi Yossi bar Yehuda, ish kfar habavli omer. Halo made mean hakitanim lamahu domeh. Someone who learns from youth, to what is he compared? La'ochal anavim kehus v'shosa yayin megito. Someone who eats raw grapes and drinks wine from the press, meaning wine before it's actually done being made, so to speak. Halo made mean hakzakanim, someone who learns from elders, lamahu domeh. What is he compared to? La'ochal anavim b'shulos v'shosa yayin yashan. Someone who eats ripe grapes and drinks old wine. Rabbi Omer. Okay, so good. And Rabbi Yehuda didn't say Rabbi Yehuda, it just says Rabbi Omer. Al tistakel b'kan kan, ela b'ma sheyesh bo. Do not look at the jug. Don't look at the container. Look at what's inside the container. Yesh kan kan chadash malei yashan. There is a new jug that could be filled with old wine, so to speak, old stuff. V'yashan sheafilu chadash ein bo. And there could be an old jug that doesn't even have any new things in it. So what, if you had to piece together what this is talking about, what's going on in this Mishnah? In this set of Mishnayos, so to speak, that's all chaf.
I mean, I'm a little confused. Maybe I'm just like super tired and like but it's saying one thing in the first two parts and then saying actually like disregard that.
Wow.
Like something totally different.
Carrie, excellent. You hear Carrie's question? Carrie, that was like amazing. Right? Why? It sounds like the third part trashes the first two parts. Why are you saying that, Carrie? Which part? Were you guys mischaving to that? I was not mischaving to that the first time I read. I had to like read the Mefarshim to understand that that's what was going on. And that's the dynamic. But exactly, Carrie. The third part seems to basically disqualify the first two parts. Why?
Do you mind just recapping a little?
Yes, exactly. I'm gonna say it in my own words without the complex terminology. The first part, the Mishnah is split into three parts. The first part says, someone who teaches a youth, it's as if you're writing on clean paper. Someone who teaches an old person, it's like you're writing on old, like, scratched up paper, like erased. You know, like, when you erase something with a pencil and you could still tell? And those of you who were, like, perfectionists in school were, like, really mad and you had to, like, white it out and then write on top of it, right? But you could tell that it was, like, messed up. That's what teaching an old person is like. But learning from a youth is as if you're eating raw grapes and drinking wine that isn't ready. But learning from an elderly person is like eating ripe grapes and drinking old wine, meaning good wine, right? Old wine meaning quality wine. And then the last part says, don't judge a vessel, judge what's inside of it. There are new vessels with old wine in it, and there are old vessels that don't even have new wine in it. So Carrie says, the third part seems to have totally disqualified the first two. Carrie, you're picking up on something that I think is extremely important, and I want you to see if you can articulate it. Where did you get that? You're absolutely right. That's one of the dynamics that we have to deal with in part three. What's the relationship? The most difficult piece of this Mishnah, of this set of Mishnayos, so to speak, is the relationship of part three to part one and part two. Why? You're like, oh God. I don't know. It just came to me.
I think it's talking about the wine and like what it's like when you're teaching when you're learning from a young person, and it's saying that it's not ready, but then it's set, like, I don't know, I feel like I'm just saying what I said before, like it's saying later, like you have no idea what's in the jug, and the jug is the person.
Good. And okay, good.
Like, sorry, I'm like,
good. No, you're absolutely right. Right. Good. Exactly what you're saying. And you're like, you're saying the third part, the moral of the third part seems to be, don't judge a book by its cover, right? That's the idiom in English. Meaning, don't look at age so much. You can have a young person who's old, you can have an old person who's young. So don't pay attention to age. But the first two, the lesson is predicated on age. The whole lesson is about age. Young people, old people, you should learn, you shouldn't learn, you shouldn't teach. It's all about age. The third part is like, don't pay any attention to age. So Carrie's like, hold on a second, like, what am I supposed to learn from this Mishnah? Am I learning something about age, or am I not learning something about age? Okay, that is the question that if you were, like, really paying attention with Carrie was, you would chop. Okay, what is the relationship to age to what's going on? And again, therefore, what's the so what factor here, right? Like, what is this Mishnah trying to teach us? Baracha, tell me your question, or your answer, or your comment.
I'm just thinking, like, it sounds like there's scenario A and scenario B, and then, but don't base anything based on preconceived notions. Like, judge every scenario as it comes, mm-hmm. and don't necessarily like say like, oh, they're an old person, I can't really teach them mm-hmm. anything, or they're a young child, I can't really learn anything. Mm-hmm. Like, you have to like kind of take the person for who they are.
So
in the moment,
good.
Like judged by their age.
Good. So is that a conflict? Do you see that as a conflict between the parts of the Mishnah, or do you feel like it's smooth? And how you're saying it?
It's smooth how I'm saying it.
Good. So you're saying like it's giving you basic outlines, but it's also telling you work on a case by case basis. Don't make those snap judgments. Work on a case by case basis.
Yeah.
Good. Okay. Good. Love it. Okay, so Bracha and Carrie see this mission differently. Bracha sees it as like a flow. Carrie sees it as like extremely choppy and confusing. Good. So we're going to start going into it and we're going to see what's going on. What's the Musar Haskell? Is it smooth? Is it choppy? And either way, we're going to be forced to learn something. So let's learn something and let's go. Okay, here we go. So the first part, again, it's very clearly split into three parts. So let's go into the first part. Someone who teaches a youth, what is he compared to? Right? Writing on clean paper, writing on non-clean paper. So the basic question is, okay, so let's just make sure we understand this Mishnah. It's telling you to prefer what? What does it seem to be instructing you to do? What should you do? You should?
Old people.
Say what?
Learn from old people.
Good. So that's the second part. You should learn from old people. Yeah. This one is the one that translates of teaching youth is like writing on clean paper. Teaching elderly people is like writing on erased paper. So what does it seem to be teaching you, telling you to do?
Teach young people.
Good. You should teach young people. Good. So, right. So that seems to be the conclusion of this Mishnah. You should teach young people. So again, the young versus the old are compared to what? What's the mashal nimshal, right? Every time we have a symbolic metaphor, we have to understand what the symbolic metaphor is trying to teach us. What's the difference between clean writing on clean paper and writing on erased paper? What's the difference between those? Or let's say, what do you think the nimshal is? What's the metaphor here?
I think so.
Say it again, Ayala.
Okay, I go first. I think, like, the new paper, I think it symbolizes, like, being a sort of receptiveness, like an openness and receptiveness, and also clarity, versus, like, rubbed out paper, right? It's not as receptive. It's, like, taking in new ink, and it's also, like, if it's written over other things, there's not as much clarity.
Good. Okay, awesome. So there's two things. The first is receptivity, and the second is clarity. Let's say clarity is a function that you could have of learning. What do you think the nimshal of receptivity is for learning? You're saying, like, how much you take it in? What does that mean?
I actually think the opposite. I think the onus is on the teacher in terms of how receptive the student is, meaning recognize that they're a blank slate, and that a prize that comes with how kind of receptive they are, how open they are.
Say it again. The onus is on the teacher, which part? Oh, you're saying the instruction is to the teacher to know what they're getting into with the learning, to understand who's on the other side of the table.
I think so.
Okay, love it.
I don't know if that's what the mission is saying as a whole, but I think if you follow the receptive part, that is what it's saying, good, not good. The mission as a whole.
Good. Okay, good, Ayelet. We're going to go there. Okay, Carrie, you agree or disagree with Ayelet?
I agree, but I also think that there's, like, pros and cons of, like, I feel like the first two parts of the Mishnah are kind of in conflict, but I feel like this, they're like in the first part, like it's unclear which one's better because, yeah, like it's much more clear to teach kids because they're a blank slate, but at the same time, teaching a complex adult, like, yeah, like if you need to teach that, like you need to rewire and erase things, and that's not going to be completely gone, but it's also going to be way more like, it's going to include other things and be more developed than when you teach a kid.
Good.
So I'm not really sure.
Good. So Carrie, you have a conflict with what the Mishnah seems to be telling us to do, which is like preferentially in all situations, prefer to teach the youth. You're like, I don't know about that. Even with the fact that a youth is a new paper and the elderly is a scratched out paper, still, who says that you should always prefer to teach the youth? Okay, good. So that's a good kasha, and Rabbeinu is going to bring it up. And we're going to see. It's good. It's going to be fascinating. He almost like uncharacteristically steps out of like a parish and answers that question. So let's go into Rabbeinu Yonah now. Enough preamble. Let's learn. This might take us a while, this Mishnah. So I hope you guys all have until like 10 or 11 tonight to learn. Just kidding. Okay, sort of. Ki ein kisiva b'niyar chadash yichola lihi machek. Tell me if the Rabbeinu Yonah is or isn't saying what you said. What's the difference? What do we mean about these kinds of paper? What's the metaphor for that? That new paper, it's hard to erase what you write on it. Kach Torah shebayaldus lo tishakach milibo. Therefore, Torah that you learn in your youth, it's harder to forget. So according to Rabbeinu Yonah, I'll keep reading. Okay, don't worry, he has more. I won't stop there. Okay, but only a little bit more. Shemehira nifsedes hakasiva haki, right? Something then he goes to talks about the niyar machuk, the smudged paper. Shemehira nifsedes hakasiva haki. It's a lot easier for that writing that you write on top of writing that's already there, not only to be unclear, he doesn't really say that, but to get rubbed off, basically. Kein Torah shebizikunoso mishtachachas meheira. So too, Torah that's learned in his elder in his elderliness, whatever, might be forgot or will be forgotten quickly. So according to Rabbeinu Yonah, what's the difference between youth and age? What's the quality difference in those kinds of paper? What's the name, Michelle? Memory. Memory. Okay, he doesn't necessarily say clarity. He doesn't say depth of receptivity. He talks about memory, which is interesting. That's Rabbeinu Yonah's read on it, is that it's much clearer. What does it mean that it's clearer on the Yerchadash? It's that he's going to remember it more. It makes more of an, which I think is similar to what Rayel is saying. It makes more of an impression on him, right? It hits deeper. But he really says it in terms of memory. Okay, but now he goes on to, which again, we could, fine, which again, let's just keep going, okay? So then he talks about, and he jumps in and almost like takes off his hat of like being perishing the specific words that are in the Mishnah, and he deals with Carrie's question, which is that, you know, it's a little difficult to be reading this Mishnah because it kind of stops the capacity for learning very early on, right? It's always preferential to teach youth. It's preferential to teach youth. It's like very discouraging. It's a discouraging kind of Mishnah, right? Because we're all like, I don't know, we're not really youth anymore. So you're telling our teachers that they shouldn't teach us. Everyone should just teach elementary school and high school, and then you should stop. So all this stuff that you're doing about adult learning, it's like cute, Chana, but like it's a waste of time, right? And you, Ayala, it's like a waste of time, right? Like stop your adult learning stuff, and right. So again, it's a difficult Mishnah. And Rabbeinu Yonah happily talks to us, and he's going to give us some chizuk. Okay, so let's put on Rabbeinu Yonah's chizuk hat and see what he says next. Amnyam al yomar hazaken. You who are reading this in your old age, right? You who are on the other side of this as the learners. Hold on a second. Here Rabbeinu Yonah is pointing out something very interesting, which is that he's going to say, and this is what he is going to say, and I'm going to frame it for you, I think, before he says it, which is that he says, this Mishnah is an instruction to one side of the table. Which side of the table is it to? And again, we're going to qualify like Ayelet because I love what Ayelet said, right? This is instruction to the side of the table of the teacher. And what he's saying is that this Mishnah might be true for the learner too, but it shouldn't matter. That's what he's about to say. It's true for the learner, but the learner shouldn't pay any attention to it. It's immaterial. It's totally irrelevant. So this Mishnah is not teaching you about learning. It's teaching you about teaching. And when, exactly what Ayala said, when you teach, pay attention to the receptivity of the learner and be intentional about it. But as the learner, this Mishnah is not for you. Here he goes. Amnam al yomar hazakein. You who are old, who this Mishnah just told people not to waste their time teaching, basically. Sort of, not really, but okay. You shouldn't say, Hein ani etz yaveh shir, I'm a withered tree, I'm an old man, v'achar she'en ha-Torah miskayemes biyadi, and look, I'm not going to have a great memory for Torah, I'm a niyar dachuk, I'm a machuk, right? I'm an erased paper, what's going to happen to me? Torah is hopeless, right? I'm not gonna be a Niyar Chadash. Lema almad v'larik iga. Fine. Why am I learning and why am I toiling over this Torah thing? Okay, he's saying, don't say that. Why not? Here he goes. Ki mekom scharo ito, because he gets the reward for learning. Asher kara v'tarach v'ase mitzvah. Because he's reading Torah, meaning he's trying to learn Torah, he's learning Torah, he's struggling, right, Tarach, he's toiling, v'asa mitzvah, and he's doing mitzvos. Again, he's doing the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Uma lo im lo yizkerenu. And what should it matter to him at all if he doesn't remember it? And again, Rabbeinu Yonah doesn't, it's not necessarily hinged on memory, right? It's hinged on whatever quality you're going to perush this Mishnah being about. The fact that Zakein does not have access to that quality shouldn't matter to him. That's what Rabbeinu Yonah is saying. What does it matter to you if you're not going to remember it? Who cares? From your perspective as a learner, you're just as obligated to do everything. And Hashem gives you just as much schar. Meaning Hashem is just as interested in you as the learner, whether or not you're a Zakein or a Yeled. That's not something you're learning from this Mishnah. Hashem is just as interested in what you're learning. Umalo im lo yizkerenu. Who cares if you're not going to remember it? Shebein kach ubein kach haschar nosnin lo. Either way, you're getting schar. And again, schar doesn't mean like you're getting schar, right? Schar means Hashem is interested in this. Hashem is going to pay attention to what you're doing. Mashal. Okay, Rabbeinu Yonah is giving a mashal. It's fascinating. It's not Chazal's mashal, it's his mashal. Okay, listen to Rabbeinu Yonah's mashal on this. Mashal lesocher, like a businessman, a merchant. Shenasan sheni poalim, lishene poalim, traksal nakuv, limale oso mayim. this merchant or whatever, this the businessman gives two workers a troxal nakuv. I have no idea what that is. I looked it up. Google Translate didn't know what it was either. I typed in both words and it wrote me a nominal threshold, which doesn't make any sense. He gave him a nominal threshold to fill with water. What that means, I don't know. But the point is that he basically gave these two workers an impossible job, okay? So a businessman gives two workers an impossible job to fill a nominal threshold with water. Just kidding. To fill something with water. Fine. Upasach imahem lasos imo malacha zo yom echad. He only gives them one day to do it, and they're not going to do it. Neither of them are going to accomplish anything in that day. Hatipesh omer. So one of them is wise, and one of them is a fool. The fool worker says, "Listen to what he says. It's fascinating. Listen to what he says. Ma toeles bimlachti. What is the purpose of my work?" Hapikeach omer. The wise one says, "Umali. What do I care? Haschar yitnuli al tarchi. I'm getting paid for working." Kach hazakim, ma lo im hu shokeach, ma shalomeid. So too, the zakim should be, you should be a wise person. What do you care whether or not you are going to remember what you learn? Hasachar no slim no, they're giving you reward. Hamar b'achad, hamar b'achad, hamam in bizchrono. So again, that's like a play on words. Chazal says, like, you know, whether or not you have a lot or a little, the only thing that matters is that you have kavana. Achad bilvad sheyichavein libo l'shamayim. So here he adds the word, bizichrono. Who cares, like, how much memory? You can remember a lot, you can remember a little. The only thing that you're judged on is whether or not you've done it l'shem shemayim. So the mashal that Rabbeinu Yonah gives is fascinating, and we have to spend, like, at least 1 second on there, which is that the tipesh and the pikeach, right? The fool and the wise man, what they say is fascinating, and we need to pay attention to it because we see this all the time in society. And I think that we have the roles reversed. Right, you have two people doing an impossible job. One of them is saying to themselves, the fool says to themselves, what's the point? I'm not going to succeed, so why am I doing anything? What do we tend to think of this person as? Do we think of him as a fool? What's the word that we have for him in society? What do we call him? We call him a philosopher. That's what we call him, right? He's talking about the point. What's the point of it all? If nothing's going to matter in 1,000,000 years, why am I doing any effort right now, right? It feels very profound to ask those kinds of questions. He's not saying like, oh, he's not being like, he's not being what we think of as a fool, right? He's being a philosopher. He's being a nihilistic philosopher, right? If nothing is going to matter, if what I do isn't going to matter, why am I doing it? It's a good question. I mean, I've struggled with that question over the years for sure. Jordan Peterson in one of his 12 Rules for Life talks about this also, right? Like this question of like, if nothing's going to matter in 1,000,000 years, then who cares? Right? And it feels like high philosophy. And what Rabbeinu Yonah is saying is that it's a tipesh. It's a foolish way of looking at the situation. What's the wise way of looking at the situation? I don't think we know this without Rabbeinu Yonah. Maybe we know. I don't know without Rabbeinu Yonah. What do you focus on? The guy said, not going to be 1,000,000, so why do you want to, what are you looking at? He's looking at the job, right? He's looking at the result. He's looking at the nominal threshold, whatever that thing is, right? Let's get the pit filled with water. He's looking at the pit. And he's looking at how much water the pit has. And he's saying, I'm going to work for a whole day. There's going to only a time in water. Why am I doing it? Who's paid to work? Being paid to water here, there. What's he doing? Himself. The wise person is judging the value of what he does based on himself and whether or not he's working. And as long as he's doing the job that he's been paid to do, he's good. He's happy. That's a healthy philosophy. If you're looking at work that needs to be done and you're disordered, it's a credible thing. Rabbeinu Yonah, I stepped out of payroll and he's like, this is talking to teachers. And I think what Ayelet said, and this is not what Rabbeinu Yonah says, but I think it's beautiful, which is that Elisha ben Avuya does not actually say what I, you know, trapped Carrie into saying. Elisha ben Avuya does not say, do not teach an elderly person, only teach the youth. He didn't do that. This is actually not instructive. It's descriptive. And I love what Ayelet said, and that's what also, like, I wrote in the margins, like, this isn't Rabbeinu Yonah, but I love, like, it's descriptive. It's describing to the teacher that there will be a different process of teaching youth than teaching adults. And this is what all adult learning theory is predicated based on, which is that if you're teaching youth, you could just go up there and lecture at them or whatever you're going to do and teach them a bunch of stuff, and they're near chadash, right? They're a new paper, load them all on. When you're dealing with adults, if you're actually going to teach them in a way that is accurate, you need to understand that they have stuff already written on their paper. Carrie, you said it too earlier on, right? They have already stuff written on their paper. And if you're going to be an effective teacher, you have to know that. You have to know that you're working with material that already exists. You have to know that your learning has to fit with their previous experiences. You have to write on a paper that already has a bunch of stuff on it. It's not telling you not to do it. It's telling you that you better know what you're doing as a teacher. Okay? And I love that. And again, and then as a learner, even though you're somebody whose paper it already has stuff written on it, like, it's just, who cares? Even if you're not going to remember it, even if it's going to be harder to retain, even if, who cares? Right? That's what everybody says. Who cares? You're not looking at that. You're looking at yourself, and you're doing what you're trying, what you're supposed to be doing. You're learning, like, you're fine. Okay, so that's one. Two. Rabbi Yossi Bar Yehuda Ish Kvar Habadli Omer. Okay, so the second part. Halomein min ha'ketanim lamahu dameh. What does it compare? Okay, bracha, I'm going to do it outside again. Okay, like a little bit in more regular, no, like, what's it called? Regular person's nomenclature. Someone who learns from youth, what's he compared to someone who's eating raw grapes and drinking bad wine. Someone who learns from the elderly, what is he compared to? Someone who's eating ripe grapes and drinking good wine. So again, what is this telling you? We know the first one is focused on the teacher. This mission is focused on who? The learner, right? The other side. If you're the learner, thank you, Carrie, for attempting to answer that question. Right? Okay, if you're the learner, who should you be learning from? If you're the teacher, preferentially, so to speak, teach the youth over the old or whatever. At least know you have to teach them differently. If you are the learner, who should you look for to learn from? Youth or elderly?
The elderly, which is why I don't love Rabbeinu Yonah's explanation with this second part. Like, I don't think it goes together, because if older people, like, their memory isn't great, and what they're learning, what everything they've learned since they left their youth, like, doesn't really stick, then, like, why are we learning from them? Learn from the kids.
Interesting. So you're saying, like, as an elderly person, you're learning from a niyar dachuk. So answer your own question. Meaning, why is Rabbeinu Yonah telling you to learn from them? Or what kind of elderly person is he telling you to learn from?
I don't know.
I think dafla from a niyar machuk, because there's so much written there that you can seep up.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly, right? That's the same quality that Rabbeinu Yonah is saying in some elderly people, and that's the qualification in the third part, right? It's not across the board. But in some elderly people, what's written on their paper, you could learn so much. Like, again, you're reading their paper. Their paper has so much on it. A young person, what does he have on his paper? A few things that someone else put there, whatever. What does the old person have? You know, he has so much. He has essays and essays, and he crosses it out and writes another word, right? And that's exactly where Rabbeinu Yonah is going, okay? Good. So what do we think, again, what was inherent in that question, Carrie? What do you think, and anyone else on this call also, please unmute yourselves and talk. What are going to be the qualities of the ripe grape versus the unripe grape? What does it mean to say that someone who is a teacher is ripe or is unripe? What qualities of them do you think that is talking about?
Developed.
Good, what do you mean by developed?
Intact.
Say it again.
They started off with, like, the raw materials, like what you learn when you're young, and it changed, and they learned different things, and it evolved into something like more real, I guess.
Good, right? It's a great muscle, right? To have something ripen, right? It's changing and it's evolving, but it's getting better. And what else? Give me more. Good, you're right, Carrie. You're on the right track. What kind of things would you use to describe someone who's ripe to learn from, or what it is from them, that, like, the material that they're teaching? What's the difference between saying that it's ripe versus it's not ripe? Again, working with the mashal, or not? All right, ready? Let's go. Let's get ready to Rabbeinu Yonah. He's going to give us a few qualities. What does it mean? Something that's ripe versus it's not ripe. Okay. Shal yadeza yavo lomar devarim. Whoa, that was the wrong Mishnah. Sorry. Okay. Keep hisyashin al chachma. Say it again.
Sorry.
Bracha. No, okay. Go ahead.
Something that's ripe is ready to eat. So I guess, like, something that is ready to teach, and something that's not ripe is undeveloped and not ready to teach.
So good. Okay, good. I love that you were responding to the ripeness, okay? He's going to go somewhere with the ripeness. Roger Bartonura is going to hound it in. He's going somewhere with the ripeness. I love that you said that, okay? What's the difference between eating something that's ripe and eating something that's not ripe?
Either it doesn't taste good or it hurts your teeth. Like, if something's hard to bite into.
Good. It's hard to bite into. It doesn't taste good. And if you eat it, you can't digest it. You can't digest it. Right? One of the qualities of learning from someone who's old is that the material is that they've digested the material enough that you could digest the material, right? What's the word, Ayala? What's the word for this? You're like, why are you calling on me? Resonance, right? There is something about ripeness. That's what it means. It settles well with you. When you eat ripe food, it settles well with you. When you eat not ripe food, it does not settle well with you. There's a quality of what you will learn from someone else who is a zakein, so to speak, who is wise, who is whatever those qualities are, that will settle with you. It will resonate with you. That's the difference, right? Beautiful. We're going to read his lashon. Here, Rabbeinu Yonah a little bit says that, a little bit doesn't. Here's what Rabbeinu Yonah says. Kibis yashen ala chachma, again, when the chachma ripens, when whatever it is that he's teaching, it's much less about the person, and it's much more about what it is that they're teaching, right? It's not that the person has ripened, it's that what it is that they're talking about, what's written on their paper, so to speak, right? That's what's ripened. B'chol yom v'yom, what happens every day? Mosif panim l'chol davar v'davar. He learns more stuff. He was writing more stuff on his paper. I love it when you turn your camera on. Thank you. Hi, El. Right? He's writing more stuff on his paper. U'misakein oso, and he's fixing it up. He's crossing it out and writing something else on top of it. V'yorei l'sof hadas ad ki hu nake l'havin. And he's going deeper and deeper and deeper. And as he goes deeper, what happens? It gets clearer. Okay, so what does it mean to say that something has ripened? That an idea has ripened? It means he learns a lot of it. That's the difference between learning from a zaken or learning from a young person. He learns a lot of it. He gets, so it's breadth, it's depth, he goes deep into it. And what's the other word they use? It's beautiful, right? It's that misaken oso. He's fixing it. That's one of the qualities of a zaken. And Carrie, you said it earlier without even noticing it. One of the qualities that like things change with time. One of the qualities of a zakein is that he's fixing his own assumptions. He's fixing his own knowledge. So by the time you learn his knowledge, what does he have? Here's the lashon of Rav Hirsch on it. It's beautiful, right? He has what he calls the mellowness. A youth lacks the mellowness that only years of experience and repeated reflection can afford. By the time you learn something from a zakein, what's it gone through? Years of experience and repeated reflection. Beautiful. Years of experience and repeated reflection. Here's a Ravadri Bachanura, again, about that resonance piece of it too. That's why you're learning from the elderly, right? Because what they teach, it's broader, it's deeper, it's fixed with time. It comes from years of experience and reflection. And here's a Ravadri Bachanura, which I didn't underline. Hold on a second, let me find it. Okay, right? That's resonance, right? What's the problem with what the youth are teaching? There's a certain incapacity to accept it and to settle well. It doesn't settle well with you. Doesn't settle well with you. Okay, moving right along. I know we could spend all the time here. You guys are like, I don't know, maybe you can't. I can spend many time here. Right, we got to move along because we have a third part that we haven't even touched yet. Okay, and we have an important moral to pull together at the end. Rebbe Omer. Okay, we're gonna go with Rebbe. Rebbe says, "Al tistakel b'kankan el b'masha yeshbo. Don't look at the vessel. Look at what's inside of it. Yesh kankan chadash malei yashan. There's a young vessel filled with old material. The yashan sha'afilu chadash imbo. And there's an old vessel that even doesn't have newness in it." So Carrie's question now comes up. What is the use of this statement? Is it qualifying? Is it disqualifying? What is going on? We talked about yeled versus zaken. You should teach a yeled, not a zaken. Then we talked about you should learn from a zaken and not from a yeled. And then we talked about, by the way, Rebbe says that age doesn't matter. You shouldn't actually look at age. Age is a random demographic characteristic. Don't look at the age, look at the material. So hold on a second. Why did we need the first two parts of the Mishnah? Why don't you just skip to what Rebbe says? Don't look at age, just look at the thing inside of it. Now you're telling people, just look at the thing inside of it. Why do you need age, right? We're stuck. Does anyone have a good answer to this? You're like, no, not after you yelled at me like that about it, Chana. Okay, good, ready, here we go. Here's Rebbe Yonah. You tell me what he's doing. Okay, so hold on a second. Which part, I'm going to read it again. Part three. Which part of this is easier to work well with the previous two parts? Okay, the real issue with the Al Dizagal B'Kankan El B'Masha Yeshbo is that it goes both ways. Okay, one way is difficult, one way is not difficult. Which way is difficult, which way is not difficult? Let me read it to you. Ready? Here we go. Al Dizakel B'Kankan El B'Masha Yeshbo. That's the principle. Don't look at the vessel, look at what's in it. There is new vessels that has old stuff, and there are old vessels that don't even have new stuff. which part of that is easier to be the Misyashe or easier to resolve with the previous two Mishnayos, with the previous two parts of this Mishnah? Which part of that is difficult? Only one, Carrie.
The second part.
Good. That's easier, right? So
yeah.
if it didn't include the first part and didn't include the principle, it just said you should learn from an elderly person and not only a youth. But we're not making that as a blanket statement. Don't learn from every elderly person, because some elderly people don't have any content, right? We know this. Just because they're wise doesn't automatically mean they're wise. Just because they're old doesn't automatically mean they're wise. We would have had no problem with that. Our problem is that it says a principle, and then it says the other way around. Hold on a second. There's a yashan. There's a chadash filled with yashan. There could be a yeled. Actually, you should learn from a yeled. We said not to learn from. No, but actually, you should, because sometimes the yeled has wisdom. But if wisdom comes from years of going through something and repeated reflection and fixing things up, how did this yeled get wisdom? Where did he get it from? Where did he get wisdom from? If wisdom comes with age, bracha.
It also comes with experience.
And experience. So
the more experience you have at a younger age, the wiser you are.
Good, right? The more experience you have, the wiser you are. So where did this youth come up with his wisdom from? Right? This is our big question.
No, but I'm saying the opposite. I'm saying if a youth goes through a lot at a young age, then they do have that experience, and they do have that wisdom.
So you're saying, Bracha, that what the Mishnah is saying is don't make blanket statements in either direction. Age does not necessarily mean wisdom, but youth does not necessarily mean naivete. As long as the youth has had years of experience and reflection, he could be wise, legitimately. And don't make that judgment just based on age, okay? Rabbi Yehuda mostly says that, but he's also going to qualify, and I want you to see where it is. What, Bracha?
There's also, like, you can have an adult who has gone through years and years of experience in life and didn't really learn anything.
Exactly.
From that.
That's what it's telling, like, right? That's much less difficult. Exactly, right? It's not automatic. It's not saying automatically trust experience and trust reflect, right? It's that you have to be discerning. But that's easier to say. It's easier to say, of course, not every old person is wise, but it's very hard. Like, once you're also going to do it both ways, that's where we get stuck, okay? Rav Hirsch, just to put it on the back burner, Rav Hirsch sees this as a massive qualification. Yeah, pshat qualification. Saying, this, you know, it sounded like he was talking about age, but this Mishnah is actually not really, okay? It says that the general statement set forth in Mishnah 26 is not universally applicable, okay? According to Rav Hirsch, part 3 is a qualification of part 2. By the way, why does he say part 2 instead of part 1? How does he know that part 3 is a qualification of part 2? I'm going to do this fast because I know it's a little bit like too, it's too technical, it's like too analytical. How does he know? Two reasons. Wait, I forgot the second one. As I was reviewing it, I was like, oh, there's two reasons here. What's the first? Don't remember the first. The second one, or maybe the first one. Okay, there's two reasons. I'll think of the second one and maybe I'll post it. How does he know that it's a reaction to the second part and not the first part? Because it's a continuation. The mushal itself is a continuation of itself, right? The first one is talking about paper, if it's written on, if it's not written on. The second part is talking about wine, and the third part is talking about a jug of wine, right? So that's how we know that the second and the third part are very closely connected, more so than the first part, okay? Let's say. So Rav Hirsch says, yes, the third part is an absolute qualification of the second part. It's just telling you that to learn from an elderly person is not, and not to learn from a youth is not universally applicable. Once you consider not so much the age of the teacher as the content of the teaching that he has to offer, okay? Shot, don't look at age, just look at quality, okay? The question on Rav Hirsch is then, why do we need a Mishnah 26? Why can, or whatever, the previous Mishnah, or Rav Hirsch is split into three. Why do we need the previous Mishnah? You could have just had the second one, okay? That's the question on Rav Hirsch. Here's Rabbeinu Yonah. Here we go. Listen, it's what Bracha said, but he adds something, and it's super important. What I want you to be paying attention to is, according to Rabbeinu Yonah, what's the role of this Mishnah? Is this Mishnah qualifying, disqualifying, adding on? What's this Mishnah doing? Well, whatever. Sorry, I'm keep saying this Mishnah because it's like the three-part Mishnah. What is this part of the Mishnah doing? Yosi ben Yehuda. Okay. Zehu masha yesh bein. Rabbi Yosi ben Yehuda. L'divrei Rabbeinu Yonah. Here's the difference between part 2 and part 3. Elav Hashalom. Ki Rabbeinu Yosi haya omer. Okay, the second part. Part 2 said. Ki im zekenim v'haketanim kulam chachamim. If you have a bunch of wise people in a room, if you have a wise person convention, let's say you call it the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah, okay? Let's say you have a big convention of wise people, the Sanhedrin, whoever it is. Some of them are older, some of them are younger. You have a bunch of people collected together and they're all wise. You should try to learn from the old people because their wisdom is riper. It's more ripe. Okay, that's what Rabbi Yossi says. Assuming that everybody, you're not talking about like learning from a dumb child or learning from a wise old person, right? That's not a fair calculation. If everybody's wise, you should choose, if you're in YU, you should choose one of the older Rosh Yeshiva and not one of the younger Rosh Yeshiva. Let's say, okay? That's Rabbi Yossi. Rabbeinu HaKadosh, so Rebbe, that's part three of the Mishnah, Alav HaShalom, Omar, he says, listen, what's the interaction between them? Ein holchin b'chachma achar harov. It doesn't matter the age. It doesn't matter the demographic characteristic. Im yumtza b'katanim nivonim v'divrehem nechonim v'chachmas amaruba. If you have younger people and they are wise and they have good things to say and they're correct and they're very wise, yomad lifneim, you could learn from them just as much. So they're in conflict, according to Rabbi Yona, right? He still has to answer the question, and this is where he says, where does that young person get his chachma from? Where is that coming from? Lifamim kim hayelad yechkam min hazaken. At times, the youth has learned from the old person. That's where he gets it from. V'tiyah chachmaso mevushalas mimenu udvrov misukinu berurim. And sometimes his words are advanced and ripened and are fixed up and are clear. Kedivri Rebbe, just like Rebbe says, lachein tovu lechaz achar yelad chacham meish zaken unesu panim she'enenu kamo b'chachma. Right, so therefore, it could very well be that you have older Rosh Yeshiva who what they're saying and what they're teaching is not as advanced and won't, again, settle as well with you and won't be as pure, as fixed up, whatever you want to say, as the young Rosh Yeshiva. Right? Where did that young Rosh Yeshiva get it from? Okay, not only the experience that Bracha says and their experience and the reflection, but he got it from those old people. That's what Rabbi Yona is saying. Where did that young person get it from? He got it from the old people. He took the Niyar Machuk, and he wrote the Niyar Machuk on his Niyar Chadash, and then he's doing work on it. And he's done 5 years of work on it. Right? He got it from somebody else. Communicative learning. How does Rabbi Yona know this? Because of the first part of the Mishnah. Right? Because of the part one. Rabbi Yona does not see it as a qualification. One, and then two, and three. Or one, and then two, but three comes to qualify two. That's not how Rabbi Yona sees the structure. Rabbi Yona sees the structure something like this. 1 + 2 = 3. If you are learning from a Zakein, who is themselves developed, and you yourself are young and a Niyar Machuk, a Niyar Chadash, and you are writing the Niyar Machuk, the developed Yashan of the elderly person on yourself, you become a Yashan. You yourself, even though you're young, you could become old. Because you have developed and you have imbibed, good word here, right? You've imbibed and you've written on your heart what you've learned from someone who is Yashan, and then you also have done your own work on it. So you could be. So don't worry, right? Once you're taking into account both part one and part two, that's how part three is true. Okay? That's Rabbeinu Yona. Here's Rav Hirsch, and again, this is going to be one of our mind-blowing kind of learning that we're going to do here. Okay? And it's simple. We're just going to string it together. Rav Hirsch says, I already quoted most of the part of Rav Hirsch that I'm going to read. I'm just going to read you one more line. Okay? And it's in part two. So part two being that you're supposed to be learning from a Zakein and not a Yeled. Okay, here's what he talks about. Why are you learning? Who's the best person to learn from? And what's the qualities of somebody who you want to learn from? Here's what Rav Hirsch says. While the most desirable students are young students, part one, men of more mature age should be sought as teachers. Even as unripe grapes last the ripeness acquired from time from the sun. So just what does unripe mean? Meaning he's saying, so the knowledge which young men have absorbed and are able to communicate, here, we said this already, lacks the mellowness that only years of experience and repeated reflection can afford. Okay, and I'm going to read quickly until I'm going to read slower the part that I want you to pay more attention to. And even as wine newly taken from the press is still cloudy and unsettled, so the ideas that the young develop from the learning that they have acquired and which they would pass on as truths based on solid knowledge. So again, what the young are going to pass on, if they're young, again, without the qualification, again, Rabbeinu Yona just sees it as, I mean, Hirsch just sees it as a qualification, but fine. The youth, why you have to be wary of youth is why. Because whatever they're going to pass on, whatever the knowledge they're going to pass on to you, still lacks the calm and clear prudence by which the mature can sift the true from the false. Okay, so Hirsch has, here are the ingredients, according to Hirsch, of someone that you should learn from. Years of experience, repeated reflection, and sifting true from false. Which means what? If you think about the person that you're trying to learn from, it's incredible. What's the word for them used in this Mishnah? Zakein and Yashan, right? They are a Zakein. Why are they a Zakein? Because what is inside of them? What is what they're trying to teach? It's Yashan. It's old, right? It's old good wine. It's old ripe wine, whatever that means. It's ripe grapes. It's matured wine. But what does it look like to you? What does it look like? Sometimes it looks like a Niyar Dachuk. It's exactly what it looks like. It's a paper that's erased and that's scratched over and that's written over and written over in all sorts of things. If you have someone that you're trying to learn from and who what they're teaching you is yashan, is old, is qualitatively the best kind of material, what will you find? That they have years of experience and reflection of back and forth and back and forth and yes and no and improving and not proving and sifting true from false. Which means that if you have someone who you're supposed to learn from, what kind of words are you going to hear them say from their mouths? I used to think that, but like, I'm totally wrong. I wrote that article, 5 years ago, and I don't agree with that at all anymore. Right? As an example, my rabbi, Rabbi Moshe Rosenstein, when we were in 11th grade, he made us do a gadol project. All of us had to choose a gadol, and we had to do like a project on it, okay? It was like, I mean, it sounds like super yeshivish right now. We were in Hannah's act, so like, that's fine. And years later, I said to him, like, would you... like a gadol, and then he like did a whole thing about like gadolim, whatever. So I said to him, like, would you ever make us do that again? He's like, never. He's like, I can't believe I made you do that. I would never make you do that. Like, he's like, what do you want from me? Like, I was a young teacher. I would never do that again. Right? Fascinating. So like that, and I remember that conversation with him, that he was like absolutely unabashed to say the thing that I thought was such a great idea when I was teaching you, now I think is not even a good idea, like at all, would never ever do that again. So what does it look like is inside of him? If you look, what is it sometimes, what does the yashan sometimes look like? Often. It often looks new, doesn't it? It's often saying, that was false, I'm leaving it aside. This new idea makes a lot more sense to me. Right? Rav Leuchter says this, I think he quotes Rav Volbi, I have to see who he quotes, and he says that an Eved Hashem...
I was thinking about that story, it is Rav Volbi.
Isn't it? It's Rav Volbi, right? He says, an Eved Hashem you're, is always back at the beginning. That's what you were thinking about? That one?
He said like a story that like Revolvi would like praise this whole book and he would tell everyone to read this book. But years later, he would say, I hate that book. You should never read that book. It's terrible for a mentor to read that book. Exactly. And he had like totally rebuilt his perspective on the world. Like every year, he just was like evolving. And it was MSA.
Exactly. Oh, that's a good story. That's a good story.
Where were you saying that in the Shir one time? Like when you said that, no?
I don't know, because I think I just recently learned that, but I mean, I might have said something like that, because I'm sure this is not the only place this has come
from. You said it, or maybe
you did? I did?
Said it on a Sabbath or something.
Wait, which? About the Rabbi Rosenstein and the Gadol story? About the, what Ayala said?
Mm-hmm. I don't remember which one, but I definitely was like, okay, hey,
oh, that's so funny. Yeah. Right? So that is a quality. Rav Leuchter summed it up by saying, again, maybe it's the same shira as I listened to. Maybe it was, I don't remember. I have to find which shira it is because I want to be able to quote it verbatim. But he said that, Rav Volbi said, you'll see therefore in Eved Hashem, they're always back at the beginning of Avoda. They always feel like they're right back at the beginning. It's all new. They have to start back from scratch. Right? And that's what you'll look like. But what's that called? That's called Yashan. Because it comes from years of experience and reflection. So even if after years of experience and reflection, you decide that what you're doing is false, and you throw it out the window, and you find something new, and it feels so new, what's that called? It's called old. It's called yashan. It's called good ripe wine. That's the process of learning. That's the process of learning. That's the kind of teacher you're trying to find. It's somebody who's always in that process. And again, with us in our own souls, the misaking, or Vayonu Yonu uses that word also, right? Fixing ourselves. That's what makes what we learn and what we teach resonate with ourselves, resonate with other people. That is lechatchila. That we feel like we're new and we're back at square one and we're back at the beginning and we're building again. And what's that called? It's called quality wine. And that's what we're looking for in ourselves, and that's what we're looking for in other people.